Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello again, and welcome to another Holy Half Hour programme here on 3TFM, your local radio station. I'm your host, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church, and tonight we have some lovely music and some potentially life-changing patter. I'm not exaggerating when I say that. Whenever I open my mouth to speak, whether it be preaching on a Sunday or school assemblies or funerals or radio programmes, I'm not doing it just to entertain and amuse. I'm always trying to make a real difference in people's lives. But you don't have to sit there thinking that you're being got at. I'm hoping to comfort mourners, educate children, inspire hearers, comfort and challenge, encourage and enlighten. In other words, to do you some service. I want to enrich your life, to benefit you, do you a good turn. So hang in there, hear the programme out, and see if you're not changed for the better by hearing it. That's the 3TFM Holy Half Hour Money Back Guarantee. So our theme tonight is conversion. No, I'm not trying to sell you a gas boiler, nor a new range mobile phone deal. I mean conversion in the sense of having a life-changing experience. Conversion as in an about-turn in attitude or opinion or philosophy of life. It happens all the time in the course of life that we make big changes in behaviour or in outlook. Well, consider, what have been the most radical transformations in your life? How about leaving the womb, going to school, becoming a rebellious teenager, falling in love, marriage, becoming a parent, becoming much more responsible and mature, thinking about others more than ourselves, realising there's more to life than meets the eye, becoming a Christian, retirement, adjusting to bereavement, the list goes on and on. We shed skins, we turn over new leaves, we burst our eggshells, we die to an old self and live as a new self. Jesus described it as being born again. Funnily enough, Billy Preston and Sarita also use the same expression, born again, as they sing about the conversion from being single to being married.
Come bring me your softness. Comfort me through all this madness. Woman, don't you know with you I'm born again.
Come give me your sweetness. Now there's you, there is no weakness. Lying safe within your arms, I'm born again.
I was half, not whole, instead with none,
reaching through this world in need of one.
Come show me your kindness. In your arms I know I'll find this. Woman, don't you know with you I'm born again.
Lying safe with you, I'm born again.
your softness. Comfort me through all this madness. Woman, don't you know with you I'm born again.
One of the most famous conversions ever was that of Saul of Tarsus in the first century. He was a very devout Jew who led the persecution of the newly formed sect nicknamed the Christians. He honestly believed that they were heretics, blasphemers, and leading good Jews astray, so he ruthlessly persecuted and killed them wherever he could. He was on his way to Damascus in Syria to kill the Christians there. On the road to Damascus, he was struck down by a blinding light, and a voice said to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He replied, "Who are you, Lord?" And the voice said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." In the very act of being struck blind, Saul got an eye-opener. From that moment, he changed from Saul the murderer to St. Paul, the leading Christian missionary. What an about turn! Notice that it was not Saul who found Jesus, but Jesus who found him. We don't seek and find God. Lost sheep does not find the good shepherd. But we turn to him only after he has already tapped us on the shoulder, as this Don Francisco song says.
Soft-soled slippers in silence, on tiptoes telling no tales. Footfalls that follow like moonlight, quietly keep on your trail. Someone's been walking behind you. You turn, but there's nothing to see. A lingering sense of a presence, wondering what can it be. Slowly you start to remember a comforting voice in the night, a song in the glory at sunrise, a call in the soft evening light. Strange and yet somehow familiar, the sound of your name on the wind, a sense that the searching is ended and the change is about to begin. Heaven's awaiting your answer.
The Bible was written in Greek, and the Greek word for repentance is metanoia. Metanoia literally means turning around. When we stand in one spot, we can look in two opposite directions. We can look towards the sun and our face lights up and we radiate. Or we can turn our backs on the sun and see only our shadow. That is a parable of life. We can look to Jesus, the light of the world, and radiate with his light and love. Or we can turn away from Jesus and be preoccupied with ourself and our own shadow. It's like arriving at a station to find two trains side by side, but facing in opposite directions. They may look identical and be side by side, but it makes a world of difference which train we board, because one is going eventually to the destination hell and the other to the destination heaven. Here is Jamie Stewart, followed by Alistair MacDonald, to tell us about another famous conversion, about a man who started off on the wrong track, facing the wrong direction, but who was stopped in his tracks by Jesus and finished the day as a very changed man.
When Jesus went on into Jericho, there was this man called Zacchaeus. He was the head tax man for the district, and so was quite rich. In fact, he was really loaded. But though he had plenty of money, he wasn't what you might call happy, and was dead keen to meet this Jesus he'd heard about. Zacchaeus, being a wee man, can't get near on account of the great crowd of folk surrounding Jesus. So he decides to climb up a sycamore tree beside the road to watch. When Jesus eventually comes along, he spies Zacchaeus. Looking up, he shouts,
"Hey there, wee man, come down, will you? I've decided to invite myself to your house for a meal this afternoon."
To say that wee Zacchaeus was fair chuffed is putting it mildly. The rest of the folk, by the way, weren't very pleased that Jesus was going to eat with a man they caught a crook. But already, Zacchaeus is a changed man. He says to Jesus, "Lord, see me. I'm going to give half of my money to the poor, and I'll promise to look after all the folk that have cheated so well." Jesus turned round to the dumbfounded crowd and tell them to hodder whisht. "This man was a sinner," he said. "He's found peace at last."
Now Zacchaeus was a toady wee man, aye a toady wee man was he, and he climbed into a sycamore tree, for he wanted the Lord to see. And as Lord Jesus passed that way, he looked into the tree, and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down from there, for I'm going to your house for tea." Now Zacchaeus was a changed wee man when he came down from that tree. So never be feared to meet with the Lord, for he's there for you and me. I never be feared to meet with the Lord, for he's there for you and me. And if he can do it for a man like Zacchaeus, he can do it for you and me. Now when we Zacchaeus come down for the tree, just as happy as a bloke could be. He gave good money to the poor, saying, "I'm a better man, you'll see. 'Cause I robbed the folk and it made me rich, but I'm finished with hypocrisy. I was ever brash for collecting cash, but the Lord has set me free. So never be feared to find the Lord, for he's there to set us free. And if he can do it for a man like Zacchaeus, he can do it for you and me. I never be feared to find the Lord, for he's there for you and me. And if he can do it for a man like Zacchaeus, he can do it for you and me. Aye, if he can do it for a man like Zacchaeus, he can do it for you and me."
And here is Cliff Richard singing the new convert song. He feels so blessed by God, especially when he does not deserve it. And now, with a cleansed conscience, he can sleep well at night.
What did I ever do for you that you should die for me? And what did I ever give to you that you should live in me? Now and forever and always true, your love has found a way. As I was, I am, and always will be in my heart, be in my head, be in my soul tonight. Live in my words, let it be said. Live in my life tonight. Pray that I never take in vain the name I hold most dear. His love in the very heart of me casts out all doubt and fear. Now and forever and always true, your love has found a way. As I was, I am, and always will be. Heart, be in my head, be in my soul tonight. Live in my words, let it be said. Live in my life tonight.
Tonight
we shall sweetly sleep.
And when we are converted, changed, born again, in love with God, in love with life, in love with the world, we find that we see everything with new eyes, and we find that love changes everything.
Love changes everything, hands and faces, earth and sky.
Love changes everything, how you live and how you die.
Love can make the summer fly, or a night seem like a lifetime. Yes, love changes everything.
Now I tremble at your name.
Nothing in the world will ever be the same.
Love changes everything. Days are longer, words mean more.
Love changes everything. Pain is deeper than before.
Love will turn your around, and that world will last forever.
Yes, love
changes everything. Bring to glory, bring to shame.
Nothing in the world will ever be the same.
Conversion or revival applies not only to individuals, but also to societies and nations. For example, consider what happened in the USA immediately after the American Civil War. It was a low time in the nation's history. There was war weariness, moral decline, and church decline. Out of a total population of 5 million people in the United States at that time, 300,000 of them were alcoholics. That's one in every 15 people was an alcoholic. One congregation at the time recorded that it did not have a single new member in 16 years. In such a time as that, a certain Mr. Backhouse called upon all Christians to pray for the nation, and people did pray instead of moaning and groaning. Soon there was a national revival. For example, in Kentucky, 11,000 people attended a communion service. Out of this revival came the abolition of slavery, education for all, and a whole new missionary movement. Another American revival had 10,000 converts every week, until there were 1 million new Christian converts out of a population of 30 million. It was reported that Atlantic City, with a population of 50,000 people, had only 50 professing non-Christians. Everybody else was a Christian. One minister had 1,000 new converts within just 2 months, and then promptly died of overwork. I love the story of the Welsh revival of 1904. There were 100,000 converts to Christianity. As a result, there were no rapes and no robberies. The police were unemployed. They were left with nothing to do but sing quartets in various church socials. Pubs went bankrupt. Babies born out of marriage reduced by 40%. And the Welsh coal mines came to a standstill because the pit ponies could not relate to orders which did not include swearing. Here's a local Saltcoats man, Roger Patterson, singing about this new life in Jesus. Individuals, couples, families, groups, congregations, nations, on every level of life, we all need conversions, transformations, turnarounds in life, new beginnings, new directions, radical changes, and not just once, but many times. They are so enriching and life-changing. Remember what happened when Jesus rose from the dead at Easter. He appeared to Mary Magdalene in the cemetery, and he turned her completely around from tears of grief to tears of joy. He appeared to Cleopas and his friend on the road to Emmaus and turned them around from bewilderment and despair to confidence and hope and joy. He appeared to Peter, who had denied even knowing him, and turned him around from his overwhelming guilt to assured forgiveness and renewed total commitment. Peter spent the rest of his life telling the world about Jesus and eventually died a martyr's death in Jesus' service. Jesus specially appeared to doubting Thomas and turned him around from doubt to certainty. Jesus touches so many lives. He has touched my life. He transforms people and he transformed me out of all recognition. The changes are so sweeping, the transformation so complete, that we have to use vocabulary like born again, starting life over again, dying to the old self, living to a new self. And when we do, it feels so great, we have to join the great chorus of praise from all the other converts over the centuries and across the globe, singing, "O Happy Day." Conversions can happen in a flash, like Paul on the Damascus Road, or they can take a long time to gradually become ripe. Usually it's a bit of both. We think about life and we chew over things for long enough, but within that gradual maturing process, we have particular crises and insights and moments of discovery, and we encounter people or events which all combine to promote changes in us. Conversion is about turning from things and turning to things. For example, from singleness to marriage, from ignorance to really learning, from selfish self to thinking more about others, from running away from life to embracing life, from fear to love, from false gods to the real God, from being set in our ways to new explorations, from knowing all the answers to being willing to ask questions, from independence to accepting help. The list goes on and on. But the biggest conversion of all, from which all other conversions naturally flow, is when we stop living for self and start living for Jesus. And it's not a sacrifice, it is sheer joy. It's a wonderful exchange. We trade in our old self and gain a new self, as our last song explains, from Darrell Evans' Trading My Sorrows. Bye for now.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.